This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. President Barack Obama was in town this weekend to campaign for Governor Deval Patrick. And Obama's appearance capped a wild week of Massachusetts politics, including a high-drama lawsuit involving independent candidate Tim Cahill and Republican Charlie Baker. According to a new Rasmussen poll conducted Saturday after President Obama's appearance, Governor Patrick has a 5-point lead over Baker, his closest opponent. The new poll has Patrick at 47%, Baker at 42%, and Cahill at 6%. That's unchanged from a Rasmussen poll at the end of September. And with Election Day about 2 weeks away, a new Mass Inc. WGBH poll shows a statistical dead heat in the 10th District congressional race between Republican Jeff Perry and Democrat Bill Keating. Here with us to analyze those polls and the latest in the governor's race are our political analysts, Republican Jack Clancy. Hi, Jack.
Hi.
And Democrat Susan Tracy. Hi, Susan. Sasha. Listeners, we're talking about the governor's race. We'll be talking about the Keating-Perry race. We want to know what you think, if you still are undecided who you're voting on, if the drama and the lawsuit of the past week or so has changed your mind. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. So as we said in the introduction, Governor Patrick received the blessing of the most prominent Democrat in the country this weekend. That's President Barack Obama.
Because Deval Patrick chose to lead in the toughest of times, this state will lead in the future. And that's why you've got to help him finish the work y'all started in 2006. That's why you need him. That's why you need to help guard the change that you helped deliver in 2006 by giving Deval Patrick 4 more years.
Susan Tracy, you're a Democratic analyst. Mm-hmm. I wonder whether you think President Obama coming to town really changed or swayed any voters.
You know, I think it's a great thing for Governor Patrick. If you can put 16,000 people in a room 2 weeks out on an election and you can get them energized, you can get them involved in door-to-door phone banks, you know, election day activities, that's a big deal. And at the same time he was here, if you looked at what the other candidates were doing, I think Tim Cahill was with about 15 people in West Roxbury, and Charlie Baker was with about, you know, 100 or so people in Waltham. Give me 16,000 energized people 2 weeks out. I think it's a really good thing.
On the other hand, Jack Clancy, although maybe it's always a good thing to have the president come for you, then on the other hand, this basically detracted attention away from what might have been the continuing weekend news about the Tim Cahill lawsuit against his former aides and the sabotage and whistleblowing accusations. So in a way, was President Obama coming helpful to the Republicans because the media focused on Obama being here rather than on the lawsuit that Cahill has filed?
Yeah, I think you may be right about that. I think that it did distract from that. That was starting to build a bit, although I think with the testimony that was coming up, it was starting to The issue with Cahill and his losing his campaign people was starting to kind of level off a bit anyway. But, yeah, it did distract from that. The other issue with President Obama coming here is his track record. I don't know if we're going to touch upon that today or not, but I'm glad to. He didn't do well last year in 2009 with two governors.
His track record of which candidates are successful
supporting,
after he campaigns for them.
Cray Deeds in Virginia, a Democrat. Incumbent John Corzine in New Jersey, both lost. When Obama injected himself into those campaigns, and they were tight races, and they both lost by several points. He didn't really help Martha Coakley, a lot of people think. Or maybe he did. Who knows what the numbers were, but she didn't win that. And then Specter in Pennsylvania. So the history so far is not a good one. We'll see what happens here. Of course, a 7 or 5% lead for the governor may be enough, but who knows? After the poll that you mentioned earlier was taken Saturday night. The poll earlier in the week was 7%. The one Saturday night was 5%. I'm not sure he got a boost.
Let's talk very briefly about the Tim Cahill lawsuit, because there really weren't any major developments over the weekend. But I want to get your sense of whether it's having any impact on the race. So briefly, Tim Cahill sues his former aides. He says they're trying to give campaign secrets to his rival Charlie Baker. Then Cahill's former aides say, no, we were actually about to disclose that you were illegally using your treasury influence to get lottery ads airing that helped your campaign. So that was very messy for the past week or so. Are the two of you feeling like in the end that's just going to disappear and we'll talk about other things in the final 2 weeks before the election?
I do think we'll move on and talk about other things, but I think the messiness of that incident has hurt both Cahill and Baker. I think it's put them both in a defensive position. It's got them off track with issues. It's allowed Governor Patrick to stay on his message of education, jobs, moving forward. So while it's not going to last for the next 2 weeks, I don't assume, I think it's done some damage to both of their campaigns.
And it came at a time when Baker was probably hoping for a little push his way, and it created a bit of a firewall, if you will. If there was going to be an increase in Baker's numbers, that would be the time you would hope it would happen, 2 or 3 weeks out. Some people thought they saw it inside the polls, but this provided a little firewall. It distracted people, and obviously Deval Patrick came out of it looking just fine.
So we only have 2 weeks left. There are obviously some very important issues, schools, jobs, the economy, and there are very important differences among the candidates on the issues. What do the two of you feel that at this point candidates need to do to try to distinguish themselves if there's anything they still can do in the remaining 2 weeks?
Well, I mean, the remaining 2 weeks is about a very small pool of voters. It's about the undecided voters. There are people who are locked in and they're voting for Charlie Baker, and people who are locked in and they're voting for Deval Patrick, and some locked in for Jill Stein and Tim Cahill.
Only 2% still undecided, I believe, roughly.
Yeah, I think it depends on the Rasmussen poll. But that's really where the action is. And I think on a really positive note from a Patrick perspective, women tend to decide late. Men sort of make a decision, stick with it, and that's who they're voting for. Women tend to take more time and I would say be more thoughtful, but maybe Jack would have a different perspective on that in their decisions. I think that bodes well for Governor Patrick, who's tend to do a little bit better among women than Charlie Baker.
Although, Jack, Charlie Baker has been trying to reach out to women in the past week or so.
Absolutely. And just in the past few days, I think he might have looked at the internals on the Suffolk poll and saw that he was weak with women already. I think you might have seen there was an ad just coming out a couple of days ago. We see Charlie now directing to the camera a little bit more. We see a little sliver of his wife at the beginning of the ad. But on his site, you'll see a full ad by his wife talking about what a great guy he is. So I think he clearly knows he has trouble in that area with the female vote. I think a couple of things he has to do, if we do have time for that, is he's kind of allowed Deval Patrick to say that Massachusetts is leading us out of the recession. And it's not. We're 26th in the country in unemployment. 25 states have better unemployment rate than we do. He's got to point that out. He also says we're number one in education, but the University of Massachusetts system isn't even listed in the top 25 of universities in which corporations recruit. He's got to get the messages out. He's got to get them out more strongly. And he also has to do well at that last debate.
Susan Tracy, over the weekend, Deval Patrick gave an interview to the Cape Cod Times in which he said that if he wins this election, it will be his last term as governor no matter what. Now, I don't know that he specifically said he's getting out of politics, but I'm wondering whether you think that's what he has in mind, or is he just thinking maybe I'll finally land a position in the Obama administration, that's where I'll go next politically?
No, I think I'd take the governor at his word. I think this is probably his last term. There aren't many people who do 3 years at the executive level. I can't think of anyone in recent history, and so I believe him that he is going to serve one more term as governor
and then be done with politics?
Well, I don't know what his future plans are. He's a pretty young guy, so I can't speak to that at all.
Let's move on to the 10th District. This is the congressional race to replace the retiring Bill Delahunt between Bill Keating and Jeff Perry. There's a new poll out today showing that that race is in a statistical dead heat. So Republican Jeff Perry has a very slight lead over Bill Keating, 40% to 41%. But then if you include voters who are leaning toward a candidate, Keating has the slight lead. So, Jack, let me start with you first. Do you expect Keating to win this race? I'm sorry, do you expect Perry to win this race, the Republican?
I think I may have said back during the primary that should Perry win, that he will have no chance of winning this race, frankly. I thought that the skeletons that he's dragging around are going to cause problems, and they have. They have. We may be at a point where we're at scandal fatigue with the ads that are coming out now, and maybe people will turn around and ask Bill Keating, what else do you have to say? But I don't know that Perry can win.
Actually, let's hear that ad, because this has to do with the skeletons you talk about, of course, have to do with Jeff Perry was a Wareham police officer, supervised another police officer who illegally strip-searched two teenage girls, and Keating's been very much focusing on that in his campaign. Let's listen to that ad that's recently out from the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee.
Imagine your teenage daughter illegally strip-searched by police. It happened repeatedly in Wareham. Jeff Perry was the supervising officer at the scene during one assault, another assault he just tried to explain away. Several months later, Perry suddenly resigned from the force. Now he's running for Congress, but the past is haunting him.
Susan Tracy, Jeff Perry, who's the target of that ad, says that it's a dirty campaign for Keating to focus on this. Do you think Keating is right to continue to focus on what he calls Perry's character issue?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that is a very significant issue. If I was a voter in the district, I would care about it. I think that combined with some fabrication around his education record is a statement about his character. And, I know that Perry won in the Republican primary with, I think, some attention to that. But I think that's a fundamentally different race than the November election.
Another issue that divides these candidates, and there are actually many issues that divide these candidates, is Social Security. Here's Bill Keating and Jeff Perry debating Social Security with Jim Browdy last week on New England Cable News. This is Jeff Perry.
I support for people like myself. Moving forward, that we may have to have some slightly different rules, meaning people in their 40s and 30s, that maybe we can't retire at age 67, maybe that needs to be 68.
And here's Bill Keating getting all over him about that.
One thing I can tell you I won't do, and that's raise the retirement age, because that creates two Americas and a greater burden.
What will you do?
Well, if a Warren Buffett and a Bill Gates are paying the same amount as someone else, is about $106,000.
You'd raise the cap on the taxation.
I think you'd look at how much you need first and then do it that way. You know,
Jack Clancy, how much are voters going to base a decision for a candidate on their position on Social Security?
I think it'll be secondary to, as Susan said, the character issue. But they might. Think of the district, a lot of retirees and so on.
Right.
And I think Social Security is a tough question.
I was just going to say that district, includes Cape Cod. You have a large retiree population down there. Plus, you have just, those of us who are thinking ahead a few years, we don't want to think about working any longer. So I do. I think that I've always thought that issue resonates with people.
Going back to the strip search issue, why, given that some people consider this quite egregious in terms of character, why do you think that Jeff Perry has been able to give Bill Keating such a run for his money, given that kind of character material that Keating has to use against him?
And it's still a 2-to-1 Democrat Republican registered voter in that area. So I'm a little surprised. I think maybe it's part of the overall wave. It's the Tea Party wave. It's the smaller government, less spending thing. And I guess he's hitched his wagon to that, and that may be what's keeping him in it.
Yeah, and remember, Scott Brown won that race 60-40. So that is a district that, could be Republican. What's more interesting is that the gap that this race is as close as it is, to tell you the truth. The Republicans had a real shot at that district, and the fact that it's neck and neck right now is interesting to me.
Jack, super brief question for you. Jeff Perry has signed a no earmarks pledge, just as Scott Brown did in his first year. So as much as people say they hate pork or earmarks, they actually love it when it comes to their hometown. Mm-hmm. What do you make of Perry deciding, okay, no earmarks?
I think a number of Republican candidates are saying that nationwide. It's a great thing to say. I think it's a tough thing to keep up to. Frankly, I think they do want their districts to have money, but it's something that's a clever thing to say, and it may help them.
Thanks to both of you for coming
sure.
in. Jack Clancy is our Republican analyst. Susan Tracy is our Democratic analyst. Thanks for coming into the studio. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.